You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Extremely tasteful.
Breakfast food on 95BFM.
The brain is still waking up. Hello, Lucinda. How are you this morning?
Morning. I'm also dazed.
Dazed. We're talking coleslaw. Last week we talked salads and the people wanted to know about coleslaw very specifically.
Yep.
So we're doing a whole spin-off on coleslaw alone.
I was just saying before we went on air, we're not breakfast food anymore. We're breakfast salad.
Breakfast salad. What is the basic ingredients of a coleslaw in your opinion?
Okay. Cabbage.
Cabbage. It's important. The number one.
Do you know, I went down like an etymology wormhole the other day because I was thinking about coleslaw.
Yeah.
And how we would be discussing it.
Nice.
And I was like, what is coleslaw? Where does that come from? And why do people sometimes call it cold slaw?
Yeah.
Slaw.
But yeah. It's kind of, I went down quite a wormhole, so, you know, big thanks to Merriam-Webster online. and it sounds like it basically comes from the Dutch words for cabbage, so cool,
yeah,
and salad, sla.
Oh, good.
So that's like very straightforward.
That makes sense, cabbage salad.
But
yeah.
But then your cabbage and all of your kind of like brassicas, mm-hmm. So your like kohlrabi, your broccoli, your cauliflower, all of that, they're like cold crops, you know, they're winter crops as well.
Yep.
So I'm kind of like, is that something that's factoring into this?
Oh, I fully thought cold slaw was just people, you
right.
know, screwing it up.
Exactly, same. But there's kind of a
cold salad.
If they are screwing
it up. It is a cold salad.
Yeah.
There is actually nothing more disgusting than a room temperature coleslaw, I reckon. It's just sort of a huge ick.
Well, if you're doing a creamy dressing, which I think most of us understand a coleslaw to have, you don't want it to be too warm.
I think we've already strayed into some potentially controversial territory here. So let's get into what is in your coleslaw. What's the number one recipe you're using at home?
To be honest, I definitely don't have a go-to. I definitely mix it up, move it around. I do really love to use a red cabbage because it's prettier.
Yes.
And I heard somewhere down the line, I heard that brighter coloured vegetables are more nutrient rich. And so I've just taken
I'd believe
that,
it.
You know?
Yeah.
Eat your colours, etc.
Something that definitely my grandmother would have told me. So I believe it. Sounds good.
But if I'm like improvising a coleslaw, I keep wanting to say cold slaw now.
Cold slaw. I won't judge you if you do.
Warm if slaw. I'm improvising a cold slaw. Slaw. I'll do like a really finely sliced cabbage. Mm-hmm. I tend to use either, I'm back on it with my...
Your mandolin.
My mandolin.
Mm-hmm.
Or if you don't have that, I also actually have, what is called a Euro peeler, which I bought from Ōtara Market maybe like, honestly, like a decade ago, and it's still going strong.
Sick.
So if you see a guy like demonstrating how to shred 1,000 carrots, buy that
it.
Device.
<It's a> genius.
Tried and tested.
It will last you a lifetime. So, but you can also just use like a normal peeler as well. But you want to go nice and fine, in my opinion. And then I usually give them a little bit of a scrunch around with some salt to get a bit more like sort of loosen them up a little bit.
Yeah.
And then from there, it's like the world's your oyster. As I have said too many times, I like to put fennel in everything, so I'll usually do a shaved fennel.
Yes.
Sometimes I will put in like some onion. I like things oniony.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe some spring onion.
Do you counteract that with any sort of acid? Do you put any like vinegars or lemons?
Controversially, you can just go vinaigrette. You don't have to go creamy dressing.
This is why I was saying the controversial hot takes, because I know we already got texts last week from someone saying, you know, sesame oil and a little bit of soy sauce on a coleslaw.
Sorry, guys. It's creamy time.
And then sesame seeds.
Like, what if you're then adding like some QP mayo?
Oh, well, yum, yum, yum.
Then I'm in, I guess. Fine.
Okay, so you're doing your vinaigrette, which we got into the depths of last week. Go back into the podcast if you want to get some vinaigrette chat.
Important.
And then what else are you doing to it? Just mixing it all up and plonking it on a plate?
You could leave it at that. I know a lot of people like to do a dried fruit.
I completely agree with you. A raisin in a coleslaw makes me want to run away.
It's just... Yeah, look,
it's very common.
Cranberry?
Where? Who?
Lots of places. You know when you go to the supermarket and you're like, I'm going to get a salad from the deli section at the supermarket. There's always a bloody raisin in the coleslaw.
Oh, see, I'm in the fresh produce section where they've got the bags of them and the unsettling tube of
the tube.
Yes.
The preservative.
It reminds me, those little tubes remind me of those toys that you used to get from a $2 shop as a kid. That's like a little tube of goo that sort of just keeps moving and you just like run your hands around it.
Yum, yum.
I'm glad no one can see my hands right now.
You look filthy.
Yeah.
I reckon, because you can just go like really easy. You can do some store-bought mayo or some QP mayo if you're a little fancy, and then add some kind of acid.
Mm-hmm.
The thing that actually I think makes QP mayo so special is that it is has rice vinegar in it and it's a bit more acidic.
Ah, true.
So like,
it's just the yolks as well, I think. It's not the whites.
Yeah. Mayo generally, basically a mayo is like you have emulsified. Look, there we go. I said the word.
We got shit for not saying emulsify while we were talking about salad dressings last week. So there you go.
It's funny though, because
emulsification fans.
If you make a homemade, pardon me, a mayo or aioli, you can't not say emulsify in that scenario, because you're really the change in texture from a bunch of yolks and a bunch of oil to a beautiful.
Well, that sounds awful.
Creamy
but
spread.
It tastes yum.
Totally.
So yum.
We're getting some good suggestions on the text machine. Someone is already saying that Soul Batter and Titirangi do a really nice Asian slaw, which is, I think, with the sesame and the soy flavours that we were talking about.
Mm.
Grizzy's also said that using Gopal's yogurt instead of mayo is what she tends to do.
I love that, because that's my yogurt of choice.
Nice.
I don't understand why people are out here paying like $10 for yogurt when you can get bloody Gopala for like $4.
Yep. Delish.
And it's proper pot set yoga. It's like live bacteria.
So yum. And then we've got someone saying what's really good in a coleslaw is chopped orange. And I'm here for a fresh fruit in a coleslaw.
I'm on board.
Not a dried fruit.
That's gorgeous.
It's creamy.
It's yum. You don't do like, full the mayo. What's the best foods mayo? That's the one. Not best foods mayo
just
vibes.
Just taking a back seat there.
You just want a little bit less mayo one that's got fruit in it.
Okay.
My friend makes a really good one with grapefruit in it. That's a
gorgeous.
Really nice time.
That does sound good.
Because that's also like your acidity, right?
Yeah.
So it's sweet, but it's also acidic.
Yeah, I'm on board.
I like a multicoloured slaw. It's really good when you get like the green and the red cabbage. You know, 100%. You feel like you're doing such good things for your health when you're eating one of those.
Putting your carrots, maybe some beetroot.
Yes, we've had a lot of carrot texts coming in. Cabbage, carrot, matchstick apples with a chipotle QP is their barbecue slaw. Simple and delicious.
I am glad someone brought in the apples, because I love apples in a salad.
Again, that's fresh banging. Fruit in the slaw is a good time.
It's
we're here
so
for it.
So good. And this brings me to my controversial point that I briefly touched on last week, which is chuck some nutritional yeast in your salad.
Now, I'm so scared of nutritional yeast. Sorry to all my vegan friends.
It's definitely very...
It just smells so funky when you open the jar.
It's literally yeast.
So how do you use it so it doesn't just taste like feet? Because that's always my concern.
So I think the way to think about nutritional yeast is it's in your umami family.
Okay.
So you're thinking, you're like miso, you're like tomato paste, Vegemite, nutritional yeast.
Okay,
delicious,
right.
Delicious. Well, Vegemite controversial, but delicious.
Vegemite definitely delicious.
Thank you. I agree. But nutritional yeast, because it's literally just like this sort of bleak looking powder. You can use it in so many different applications, and I personally don't like the look of it. It looks like sawdust, it's not an appealing sort of texture. But if you are making kind of a creamy slaw, or even a non-creamy, you add a big tablespoon, depending on how kind of like funky you want it, mix it in. And it's going to give you, it's really similar to putting like a Parmesan in a salad.
Wow.
It's going to give you that kind of like slightly like fermented kind of.
Yum. Okay.
Like a little savoury edge.
All right. You're winning me over on this. Actually contextualising it in the umami family has made it way less scary for me already. That was very helpful. Thank you.
I do kind of get it, because normally we're like, yeast is it's an ingredient for making bread.
Yes. Yeah.
It's not an ingredient for adding flavour.
Taste.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's also like, to be honest, it's real cheap, and it's a really delicious way of adding flavour, and it's like shelf stable. So it's quite a fun thing to sort of have in your pantry.
Good for you, right? It's got nutritional in the name.
Exactly, it's nutritional.
Okay. When we had halftime in the studio the other day, C had a really dense-looking smoothie with them, and apparently they'd put a bit of nutritional yeast in it, which I was like, whoa, that's wild. They said, no, you can't taste it, but it's good for B12. So shout-outs to the vegans who do need their B12 somewhere.
By that in a smoothie, though.
Yeah, apparently you can't taste it. That's what they said. I'd take C's word for it. They know what they're talking about. Professional vegan, as they pointed
out.
We got a lot of people saying if you don't like it, you could just put parmesan in there too. So if you're 100%. Not concerned, if you're feeling too concerned by nutritional yeast and you can eat dairy products, that's the one for you. Someone says a bit of miso and ginger to coleslaw is a really yum Gorgeous. Combo as well. We've also had somebody saying that it's great nutritional yeast. This is. It's really nice. Sprinkled on tomato and buttered toast for breakfast.
Yeah.
Stella's looking horrified by that one.
I'm recoiling.
No. I reckon I could,
There's
could
yeast
try
in your
it.
Toast, mate.
I'll try anything once.
Yeasty.
Yeasty as. We have also got someone saying that coleslaw is infinitely better when it's had time to absorb the dressing.
Yes.
So make it the day before.
100% it is.
They've also said definitely yes to some vinegar, and they put cheese. Cheese in theirs too, a bit of grated cheese.
Honestly, delicious. Like, I am never mad at finding cheese anywhere. You know?
Yum. Good coleslaw chat. Thank you very much. I'm going to go make one tonight. This has inspired me, and I might try the nutritional yeast. I'm not promising it, but I'm thinking about it.
Someone said I will eat a teaspoon of it.
Nutritional yeast.
Yeah, apparently
it's so.
It's so
dry.
That's another professional vegan
cinnamon
out there.
Challenge.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's like Weet-Bix challenge.
Yum.
That's although, like when you're a kid and you get the Milo spoon.
Oh, no.
Buzz the vegan version.
No.
Thank you very much, Lucinda. We will see you next week.
Kaki day.
Food for thought.
Breakfast food on 95 BFM.
That was a 95 BFM podcast. Support 95 BFM with a B-card. Go to 95bfm.com/signup.